Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What is going on, Marks, Smarks, and everyone in between? Welcome back to another episode of Mikey's Indy 500. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and thank you all for joining me on my race through the independent scene, where I will be watching 500 independent wrestling matches in the year 2020 and rating them all on a scale of 1 to 5 spicy meatballs, 5 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. We're going to get right into it today with our first matchup of Joey Janela versus Chris Statlander from Beyond Wrestling, Uncharted Territory. Just to give you a preview of how this match is, I'm going to let Joey Janela tell you himself.
Who's ready to watch a fucking classic?
So this match had an amazing amount of technical wrestling between these two competitors. There was just reversal spots, there was crazy holds I've never seen before. There's just a whole lot of technical wrestling, and it is really kind of awesome to watch. So there was a lot of back and forth in this match between the two competitors. There was many a time where there was crazy back and forth sequences where it would go from Joey to Chris, Joey to Chris, then they're both down, and wow, it was really just phenomenal to watch. There was a part where Chris Statlander was almost mocking Joey Janela, just copying what he did, which was really funny. There's lots of pandering to the crowd between these two competitors. They are really hyping the crowd up, and the crowd was awesome throughout this whole match. They were super into it and really, really kept the match feeling alive. There was one part, though, that was kind of a little bit of a slip up on Chris Statlander's part, where she counted where she was doing her countdown 3-2-1 blast off the top rope. But I think if you're counting down a top turnbuckle move, you probably should expect your opponent to counter it, which Joey Janela did. And this match just ends up turning into a slugfest. They are hitting each other with everything they got. Joey brings out the doors. From under the ring, there's two doors. Stat puts Joey through one, and then Joey ends up putting Chris Statlander through the other, off of the top turnbuckle with a crazy suplex. And there was this one really awesome sequence where Chris Statlander hits Joey Janela with a Canadian Destroyer, then Joey Janela kips up and just hits Statlander with a huge lariat, and it was just, everyone popped off. The crowd was going so nuts. It was really, really cool. And Joey Janela ends up winning this match in the end when he just super kicks the head off of Chris Statlander after she flips him off. It was so good. It was so, so good. At the end of the day, I ended up giving this match 4.5 spicy meatballs out of 5 because I very much enjoyed it. I loved both of the competitors. I loved how back and forth it was and how fast-paced it ended up being and how hard-hitting it was. It was a real slugfest, and I enjoyed watching it a lot, so I give it 4.5 stars. Next up, we have a match from Progress Wrestling. We have Jack Gallagher versus Pete Dunne for the Cruiserweight Classic Qualifier. This match was pretty insane. These two guys are two wrestlers I always wanted to get more into, especially after I saw Pete Dunne take on Tyler Bate in NXT. I wanted to see more of him. And I definitely want to see more of Jack Gallagher because I just love his gimmick so much. So, I never knew how hated Dunn was in progress, but the crowd was definitely not on his side. He was a big heel, and he was playing it up through the whole match with amazing, amazing heel work. And this was also another, like the last one, this was also another big feat of technical wrestling. This was just a hugely technical match between the two. There's Jack Gallagher escaping headlocks with handstands, and Pete Dunne working the fingers and getting in crazy submission holds. Yeah, it was just an amazing, amazing... If you're into technical wrestling, this is definitely a match for you, for sure. Dunne had some great heel work when he was putting in a submission hold and working the fingers, and he ended up biting down on Jack Gallagher's hand, but he kept spinning around so the ref couldn't get a good view of what was going on. That was pretty funny. This match is 15 minutes long, around 15 minutes long, but it feels like it just keeps going and going and going and going. There's, like, no time for you to breathe. It's just so fast-paced and so... Everything happens so quickly, and it's really, really cool. I love the pacing of it. It really kept my attention. And Jack Gallagher ends up taking it home with a heel hook on Pete Dunne. I ended up giving this match 4 spicy meatballs out of 5, just because I really enjoyed watching it. However, I do wish it was longer. So that's what's kind of holding it back from 5 stars, because I think if these two guys went longer, it could have been an instant classic for sure. Next up, we have a match from a promotion that I have never experienced before called Riptide Wrestling, and this match is Cara Noir versus Pac. And this promotion has some of the greatest camera work I have ever seen in any wrestling promotion ever. This whole match just felt like a scene from a movie. It was beautiful to look at. And I really wish that this is what that wrestling looked like that all the time. I just wish wrestling looked like that all the time. It was really incredible. The visuals were stunning. Everything just felt like it was way more impactful because of it. Throughout the entire match, Cara Noir is desperately trying to get Pac to shake his hand, but he never will, because of course not, because, you know, Pac's a bastard. Instead, Pac is constantly yelling fuck you at Cara Noir and never letting him shake his hand. And honestly, Cara Noir, when I never watched one of his matches, but I've seen stuff about him, and I always kind of immediately assumed he was like this mysterious, like, rogue figure who's like, who you can't really read a lot of the time, but he was way more comedic than I expected. He would do some silly stuff here and there in the match, and I thought it was an interesting twist for me, because I definitely did not expect him to be like that, but I very much enjoyed his work. This match also shows off how good Pac is as a heel, because he really riles the crowd up. He never stops. He just keeps ripping into the crowd. He keeps ripping into Cara Noir. Noir makes a great comeback throughout the and in the middle of this match, and it's really, really amazing to watch. And then Pac ends up getting a moonsault to the outside, where he was in the air for what felt like 10 years. It was so long. But Noir he didn't back down. He was almost impossible to stop. He just kept coming back and kicking out and kicking out. At one point, Pac puts in the brutalizer. Noir gets to the ropes. It's just unbelievable tenacity from Cara Noir, for sure. And Pac continues to show off his great heel work when he starts talking down to Cara Noir, and I will play a clip of that right now to show you. In the end, though, Pac ends up winning with the Black Arrow and taking it home and beating Cara Noir and walking out victorious. This match for me was a 5 spicy meatball match. This was the I think this was the spiciest match tonight. And it was one of my favorites that I watched all week, and I'm never going to forget that match, honestly. So I'm going to give it 5 meatballs. Next up, we have a match that kind of happened out of nowhere at So this match kind of happened out of nowhere at Future Stars Wrestling when Killer Cross was making a speech, and then John Moxley, of all people, comes out to interrupt him, and these two start off very fast and just start beating the crap out of each other, and then it slows down. There's a lot of technical wrestling, and it's not like the other matches where it was kind of exciting where there was reversals and everything like that. It was just a lot of holds being held for a while, and to me, it wasn't very exciting. It started off really exciting when they just start beating the hell out of each other, and then as soon as they get in the ring, it just starts getting a little slowed down. But here and there, they do some cool stuff, like Killer Cross flipping off Moxley before Moxley just rocks him with a huge knee to the head, and they're going back and forth with punches, and Mox winds up a big punch and just ends up slapping Killer Cross in the face, and in the end, Killer Cross hits Mox with a Doomsday, who gets up and hits him with a Paradigm Shift, and they both knock each other out. And this match ends in a draw when none of them can answer the referee's 10 count. Now, this match was, like I said, a lot of technical wrestling. There were some big spots here and there and some fighting here and there, but otherwise it was kind of just a big feat of technical wrestling. And I don't know, I found it a little boring. It was cool to see these two fight, for sure, but I just wish there was more to it, you know? So I ended up giving this match 3 meatballs out of 5. It was fine. Next up, we have quite a rivalry. We have one of the biggest rivalries in the independent wrestling scene. We have David Starr versus Jordan Devlin from OTT Homecoming. And I believe this is the first time these two fought against each other. This is when their rivalry came to a head. And this match was insane. This match was absolutely insane. Jordan Devlin enters. He's ready to fight. And he's waiting for David Starr to enter. And David Starr uses an interesting choice of music when he comes to the ring. Here's a clip.
I don't blame him.
So this match starts really quickly when Jordan Devlin just absolutely bum rushes David Starr in the middle of the ramp. He just goes right at him and just starts beating the crap out of him. They start fighting in the crowd. They throw each other around. Jordan Devlin hits a big moonsault to Starr from the stands. And they make their way back to the ring, and the match officially starts when the bell rings. And oh my god, I never realized how much of a huge piece of shit David Starr is, but I think he is definitely one of the biggest pieces of shit in wrestling history. This match got really personal and really emotional. There was a lot of big spots, but there was also a lot of talking, mostly from David Starr. But there was one clip that I will play right now that really shows how emotional and personal this rivalry is. There's a lot of huge sequences in this match and a lot of really big spots. And I think if you're a big fan of like huge spots and a good mix of reversals and technical wrestling and two wrestlers who know each other very well because they used to be a tag team, you like this match a lot. Toward the end, Devlin hits his finisher, the package pile driver, but he doesn't pin David Starr. Instead, he hits a second package pile driver and ends up winning with the second one and pulling out the victory over David Starr. This match, I gave 4.5 meatballs because, oh wow, it was a banger. It was, if you want to see two great wrestlers work their asses off, this is a match for you. I gave it 4.5, and I just thought it was really good, and you can find it for free on YouTube. Just look it up. David Starr versus Jordan Devlin Homecoming. Highly recommend you watch this match. Next up, we have a match from PWG, and we have Jeff Cobb versus King Ricochet. This match starts off kind of slow, which is surprising for a Ricochet match. It ends up speeding up a little bit towards the end, but it never really got as fast as it never really picked up like I wanted it to. But there was some big, there was some good spots in this match where Ricochet shows off his strength and Cobb shows off some athleticism, and they kind of play each other's game for a little bit. It was good, but it wasn't anything incredibly exciting. So I ended up giving it 3.5 meatballs out of 5. If you want to watch this match, it is PWG from Battle of Los Angeles 2016, Jeff Cobb versus Ricochet. I would recommend it. Especially if you like Ricochet stuff in WWE, it just shows how versatile of a wrestler he is, and it just shows how good Jeff Cobb is as well. So next up, we have another match from Beyond Wrestling. We have Orange Cassidy, who, as we found out last week, is one of my new faves, versus Warhorse, who definitely surprised me in this match. He was I've never seen a Warhorse match before, and I really like his style, and I really like how he's constantly yelling at his opponent. And I thought he was really interesting to watch. So we start this match on a deathly serious note, because Orange Cassidy immediately takes off his sunglasses, which never happens. This match, if you are a fan of the normal Orange Cassidy gimmick where he doesn't really try and then, like, toward the end he gets hyped up and he tries, this isn't that. There is that sometimes, of course, because, yeah, that's just what he does. But most of this match, Orange Cassidy is actually wrestling pretty hard. He's doing a lot of moves. He's running around. He is just turned on. Like he is just on this whole match. He's going and going, and he is just putting on a clinic against Warhorse. He is absolutely taking control of this match. But of course, there's some spots where he goes back to his old self that are very funny. Unfortunately, this crowd in this match was kind of dead, which is upsetting to me, because this particular match was at a venue like 15 minutes away from my house called House of Independence in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I'm kind of disappointed in my fellow Jersey wrestling fans, because the crowd was just dead. There was just nothing. It was quiet. Nobody was cheering. It was definitely rough to it definitely took away from the match a little bit, because for me, a good crowd makes a match sometimes, and a dead crowd could kill a match, and it kind of killed a little bit of the vibe for me, you know, like the big fight feel that this could have been, especially since this match was for the IWTV independent title. I just wish there was a little more hype in the audience. So, yeah, that was a little bit upsetting. But there was a great moment where Orange Cassidy actually takes a big hit from Warhorse and just goes nuts and hulks up, basically, and just absolutely destroys Warhorse. However, Warhorse does end up winning this match with a double stomp off the turnbuckle to the back of Orange Cassidy's neck, and takes home the win and defends his IWTV independent title. I ended up giving this match 3 meatballs out of 5. Just because of the fact that there could have been more in this match. It was good. It was fast-paced. And both of these wrestlers definitely put on a clinic. But I don't know. It just didn't have that... I guess part of the crowd took away from it, because it just didn't have that big fight feel to me, even though it was a big title match. I just wish it felt more important. So I ended up giving this match 3 meatballs out of 5. It was still good, though. I do recommend watching it, especially if you're an Orange Cassidy fan, because he's just great. And so is Warhorse. He's definitely a new one I have my eyes on. Next up, we have a match from Defiant Wrestling. We have Drew Galloway, also known as Drew McIntyre from WWE, versus Cody Rhodes. You all know who that is by now. Come on. So this match starts off with the two of the competitors shaking hands with each other, getting ready for a good match. They end up shaking. It was really funny because Cody did like a cartwheel and like a roundhouse towards Galloway, and just instead of starting the match, he just stuck his hand out, and they ended up giving a nice handshake. So, yeah, this match is just, it starts off kind of slow, just a lot of, like, technical stuff and some rest holds here and there and some, just, there's some heavy hits. But then, when they can't put each other away, it starts getting a little serious. It feels like the good vibes from the handshake kind of wore off when these two just start throwing everything they have at each other. Drew Galloway takes out a table, which definitely looks like somebody made it in their backyard in, like, a half hour before the show. It's weird looking. And Drew Galloway ends up putting Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes, who was ringside for Cody, through that table a little after he set it up. And that's when I thought, oh, man, that handshake is kind of that good vibes I had from the handshake where it was like, yeah, we're good friends and we're going to have a good match is wearing off because it got a little personal. Yeah, that was at, you know who was a great part of this match? Stu Bennett on commentary, or as some WWE marks probably know him as Wade Barrett. He was on commentary this match and he was so good. He was so good. At one point, someone comes in and interferes in the match and starts, when the ref is knocked out and starts beating up on Cody and Drew, and Stu Bennett comes in and hits him with the bull hammer and knocks him out because he desperately wants to see this match have a conclusive finish. That was great. I really miss him in WWE. He was so good. I miss Wade Barrett. Cody ends up kicking out of the Future Shock DDT toward the end of this match, which was kind of crazy. Especially since Drew Galloway has put away so many of his opponents with that move. This match ends in Cody Rhodes reversing a Drew McIntyre sunset flip into a pin and gets him with the 1-2-3. Cody Rhodes wins the match. I gave this match 4 meatballs out of 5 because I just was hyped because I love Cody Rhodes and I love Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway. And I really like watching these two guys work. And I was really entertained, and I was hooked. I liked this match a lot, so I gave it 4 meatballs. Next up in the order, we have a match from Ring of Honor, and it is Adam Cole versus AJ Styles, two big names that any wrestling fan should recognize. This is from their good old days, when AJ Styles was the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and Cole was just running Ring of Honor. This was a great match. This was a great match between two awesome competitors, and I really like watching them before their WWE runs. They shake hands to start things off, but again, that sentiment ends up fading away, I feel like, when they start getting a little more personal toward each other, a little more frustrated that they can't put each other away. Adam Cole was being an absolute dick this whole match, which is no surprise to anyone who knows Adam Cole or has seen him work. This match was kind of slow-paced, but it was heavy-hitting. This match was slow-paced, but it was heavy-hitting toward the beginning, and then at the end, it just got crazy. They just started throwing everything they had at each other and just beating the absolute crap out of each other. AJ ends up getting Cole with a Styles Clash, and Cole gets his foot on the ropes right before, literally a half a second before the 3 count, and it was wild. It was absolutely wild that he even kicked out. I thought it was over, and then I saw his foot, and I freaked out. It was crazy. AJ ends up winning this match with a brain buster from the top rope, and takes home the victory. I was a big fan of this match because I love both of these competitors, especially Adam Cole. He's like my new fave. I ended up giving this match 4 meatballs out of 5 just because it was a little slower paced than I would have wanted from these two guys, especially because I know these two guys can go and I've seen them go. Yeah, it was a good match otherwise, though. So ends up getting 4 spicy meatballs. And our last match of the evening goes to Walter versus Will Ospreay in their first time ever match in Defiant Wrestling for the Internet Championship at the event Stacked 2018. This match was off the wall insane. I was hooked from the jump. This match starts off with Walter absolutely just dominating Ospreay. And Ospreay just getting a little bit of offense in here and there, but it's just mostly Walter for like the first 10-15 minutes of the match. Ospreay does end up fighting back, and when he does, oh man, is it crazy. Ospreay just goes on some crazy comeback streaks and just really takes it to Walter, and this whole match, there's a big frog splash crossbody to the front row from the ring to the outside. Oh my god, and they're fighting on the outside a lot of this match, and there's one point where they're just fighting in the front row, and the referee gets to 8, or like he's starting to count, the count's getting a little high, they're almost to 10, almost getting counted out. Ospreay tries to run back in the ring, and Walter rips him back down and slams him on the ground and gets back in the ring. And I swear to God, 9 and like 399 400ths of a second. Like, faster than you can blink your eye is how long Ospreay had left to get back in the ring. He ends up getting back and beating the 10 count by so little. I cannot stress enough how small of a time frame it was that he made it by. Ospreay, there was one point where Ospreay is just taking chops from Walter and powering through them and getting in huge sequences. There was a point where it was Walter chops Ospreay so hard he falls down, but Ospreay kips up and hits him with an enziguri and knocks Walter down. Ospreay hits a huge rainmaker towards the end. And Ospreay hits 3 shooting star presses in a row, and Walter somehow kicks out. At the end of the day, though, the victor is Walter, and Walter retains his internet championship. I gave this match 5 spicy meatballs out of 5 because this match hooked me in immediately. It just grabbed me by the shirt collar and put my face to the TV and didn't let me leave. I couldn't look away. I couldn't. I was just too excited. I was popping for Will Ospreay, and I found that I definitely, after this match, have a newfound admiration for Will Ospreay as a competitor. He is amazing in the ring, and what a great performance these two put on, for sure. So that about wraps it up for today. That is another 10 matches in the books. Thank you all again for joining me on my race through the independent scene. And remember to send your match suggestions in to @HitTheBooksPod on Twitter using the hashtag HTB500 to send me your suggestions for independent wrestling matches that I should watch. And if you do, I will shout you out on the show. I will watch the match and give it a thorough review. And I will be very thankful for you doing that. Remember, the matches you suggest can't be from New Japan, WWE, or AEW, just the independent scene. However, wrestlers from those brands are free game. Like I just did a match with AJ Styles and Adam Cole. Obviously, we're all good there, just as long as it's not on those 3 brands. I'm counting NXT in that too, in WWE area. So, yeah, send me your matches in. Let me know what I should watch, and thank you all again for joining me on my race through the independent scene. See ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.